Good afternoon. Beginning about 3 weeks ago, the Sunday Gospels have had us listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as he gathers his newly chosen disciples. Jesus teaches them, beginning with the Beatitudes, what discipleship really means. So it's no accident this all takes place right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, for he's laying down for his disciples, and thus for us, the tone and the direction and the foundation of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Remember, his early disciples are Jewish, and up to this time, their faith and focus lies in the observance of laws found in the Torah, as interpreted by the rabbis. So Jesus began by stating that he hasn't come to abolish the laws, but to fulfill the law. In essence, what he's saying is, listen, what I'm about to tell you is a bit unsettling, as it will require you to think much differently. But to be clear, I'm not doing away with the law that you follow, for the law is important. Instead, I'm going to show you what it means to live the law, to fulfill what is being dictated by the law. And so, beginning with last week's gospel and concluding today, we hear Jesus give a total of 7 examples of what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. 7 invitations to all of us to be in right relationship with God and with each other. And perhaps the most central of all 7 is the last one, where Jesus tells us, the law says to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your heavenly Father. Or in other words, so that you and I may be one with God. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? Really? Enemies? Jesus, do you mean those who hate us? Those who attack us? Those who are different from us? Those we deem to be inferior to us? Those that we're afraid of? We need to love them? Why? Christ answers that exact question when he tells his disciples, because God makes the sun rise on the good and the bad, causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He's saying that God loves unconditionally. God loves all that God has made and will make. It's not our place to use laws to feed our egos and impose our sense of justice and judgment on others. But again, why? Listen to again what we heard in the second reading in Paul's letter to his community he wrote in Corinth, when he said, do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. We belong to each other, and we to Christ, and Christ to God. See, every human being is a temple of God. There are no exceptions. Therefore, how we treat each other is not a matter of red versus blue, Republican versus Democrat, Christian versus Muslim. Rather, it's all about how well we actively live out the gospel. Listen to what Pope Francis had to say last week as he preached on the Beatitudes. The sickness, or you can say the sin, that Jesus condemns most is hypocrisy, which is precisely what's happening when someone claims to be Christian but does not live according to the teaching of Christ. You cannot be a Christian without living like a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without practicing the Beatitudes and doing what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 25, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, and welcome the stranger. It's hypocrisy to call yourself a Christian and chase away a refugee or someone seeking help. Yeah, but it's just so easy for us to use broad paint strokes to label and cast out those different from us and those that we dislike. The story is told that Leonardo da Vinci ran into a similar challenge when painting The Last Supper. After having a bitter argument with a fellow painter, da Vinci began to think of a way to get back at this guy. So he came up with a devious plan, and he decided to paint the face of his enemy as the face of Judas Iscariot, so it would be captured for all time. When the people came to look at his work while it was still in progress, they immediately knew who Judas was. Da Vinci got great joy out of portraying the man as Judas Iscariot. But as he continued his work, he finally came to the face he had saved for the very end, the face of Jesus. But he drew a mental blank. He couldn't paint a thing. Finally, God opened his eyes and showed him the trouble was that he had painted the face of his enemy as the face of Judas. He realized that his hatred and bitterness was keeping him from being able to face the face of Christ. So he went back to the image of Judas and painted some nebulous face and asked him for forgiveness, reconciled with his painter enemy. And then he went back and he could clearly paint the face of Christ and finish one of the world's greatest murals. These past few weeks, I've spent my prayer time examining what kind of paint strokes have I been using on those who are different in my life. While I stand here and preach the gospel every month, how well do I live it? Especially as it pertains to strangers in my life. Keep in mind, how you treat anyone is how you treat everyone. But it's so easy to fall back on the laws, no different than the disciples did, allowing our egos to overrule our faith. But with the Beatitudes, Christ gives us a way to live the laws. He reminds us of the need to get out of our heads the sense of membership of what is owed to me if I follow the laws and get into discipleship. For the only way we can transform our lives is through loving relationships with each other. Christian author Brian McLaren recently wrote, "Jesus doesn't dominate the other, avoid the other, colonize the other, intimidate the other, demonize the other, or marginalize the other. He incarnates into the other, joins the other in solidarity, protects the other, listens to the other, serves the other, and even lays down his life for the other." It seems the events of these past weeks have given cause to remind us that we are a pilgrim people who have a choice on which road to take. We can feed our ego and focus our lives on judging who is in and who is out, and who is doing it right and who is doing it wrong. Or we can go forth and answer the call to live the gospel by actually welcoming the stranger and serving those living in the margins with mercy, forgiveness, and inclusion, and thus bonding our soul to the faith we profess each week. Two diverse paths, two different journeys. Which one will you choose?